This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
הם איסום שנסעת מובן בעצם רואה מעשיהם אחירוס כל כך גדול וחשך כל כך רב עד שנשחסו בגופם ונפשם באמס. But the Rishoyim Gemurim are those who have gone so far in the evil of their deeds and the murkiness, and their murkiness is so great and the darkness so extreme that they have actually damaged their bodies and souls. There's a deterioration both physically and spiritually in them. And they've damaged themselves so permanently that they are in no way and cannot be made in any way fit to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a permanent damage that they've caused themselves. But nevertheless, there might be some good deeds that they possess. But they are deeds which, when weighed up in the scales of the Ribbono Shel Olam, einom machriim es ba'aleim letzad ha'toiv ha'amiti klal. They are not machriya. They don't weigh down. They are not decisive in determining their owners belonging to the good side. So they've done some good deeds, but that doesn't change the person. So there are, one has to view deeds in two ways. The deed itself has to be judged, and then the effect that the deed is having on the person. So you can have a person who's doing good deeds, but he's a bad person. So the effect that to the point that those good deeds don't make him a good person. He's a bad person doing good deeds. Just as you can have a good person doing bad deeds. One has to be careful not always to judge the person and the deed in the same way. You can have a good person doing bad deeds, and you can have a bad person doing good deeds. Not the quantity nor the quality of the deeds are sufficient to bring about this change. For if these deeds would be sufficient to weigh him over into the good side, then these people would no longer be called Rishoyim. They would have been affected in that way. They would be from one of those people who are developing themselves and purifying themselves until they come to the right side. However, since the Midas Hadin, the justice of Hashem, should not be inadequate in any way, that these deeds should be left without response. So these are good people, these are bad people, but they've done good deeds. So even bad people who have done good deeds need to be rewarded. It was established by the Ribbono Shel Olam that the reward should be given to them in Olam Hazeh. And it comes out that schus is then paid out and does not remain to in any way build the person up into any long-term benefit. We pay him out and we get rid of him.
Then this speaker of willing speaks to the ones that will need it.
But by his deeds, he's showing that he wants it. By being a bad person, he's showing that he doesn't value Olam Habo. If he doesn't value Olam Habo, we pay him out.
So, I mean, that he expects to be paid out at all for his good deeds.
But even if he doesn't expect to pay out, that doesn't matter. He's owed, the Ribbono Shel Olam owes it to him. You don't only pay a debt to somebody who expects to be repaid. Even if your creditor doesn't expect to be repaid, if you're able to pay him, you pay him. Some people do. Yeah. That's like you see in a business, it's the same thing. We're based on last night's shiur also. If you've got a partner in your business that doesn't have long-term interest in the business, he wants quick profits, what's the best thing to do with him? Pay him out and get rid of him. If you're trying to build a business, the best thing is to pay him out and get rid of him. That's what it is. A person who's not interested in the long-term benefits of Olam Habo, pay him out and get rid of him. It's a different kind of animal. A person who wants the quick results is a different kind of animal, and he's a destructive animal. Usually, although sometimes there's a tendency, there's a yetzahara to find it attractive, the short-term benefits. But that's not the way that life goes. That's not the way of emes. Emes is in the long. You invest for the long term. And as we said last night, the payers come automatically as you go along. You've got to build for the long term. And that's why, in so many shirim recently, I've spoken about the old man who was planting the tree. Remember, that's the concept. What's investing in the long term is not for what I can get out of it. Investing in the long term is simply an understanding that I'm investing in something good, in something that is a source of further goodness. No, everybody benefits from it. But there is one further very important prat in this whole concept. In this gathering of complete people that will take place in the future, that the creation of this perfect society, the intention is not that they will all be identical in the levels that they've reached. What is the extreme bottom level that will be acceptable? Rebbeinu established the lower limits of acceptability in cleaving to him, and the ability to benefit and to take pleasure in that shleimus. And according to this, Hashem arranged that any person who at least gets to this lower level already qualifies for this perfect society. And he will be one of those people left over to enjoy the eternity of it. But a person who does not even reach this level, such a person will be completely cast aside and lost. However, somebody who makes it to more than that minimum level, he will occupy a more senior position in that society. So it's not a society of equality. It's a society of perfection, but there's not equality in perfection. There are different levels in perfection. So there's a minimum level which one has to reach in order to qualify. But thereafter, there are many, many senior levels, all the way up, that exist.
No.
Just that one has to be a tzaddik and not a rosha. It's the way that Rebbeinu Shlom weighs up the deeds. But we don't know how that works. He comes to the goyim. He'll still come to the goyim. Yeah. At this point, he hasn't yet differentiated between Jew and goy. At this point, he's talking about humanity, because he's talking about the way the world was originally created. Then he comes onto the whole question of the separation of goyim and Jews, how it happened, why it happened, what the differences are.
Seems a bit unfair that they should participate.
A bit unfair that they should participate. Because they have it so easy, you mean?
They haven't been so good to us,
actually,
being
here. No, only those are going to have. A guy who's been evil certainly won't participate. The only question is the Chassidei Umas HaOlam. Whether the Chassidei Umas HaOlam can make it or not, that's the question.
And that Chassidus is defined by the Shiva Mitzvahs when they're not.
Yeah. And it was part of Hashem's deep plan. That's perhaps the most important part in the whole Sefer. That the human being has to be master of his own benefits, of his own goodness. That's the essence of it all. The Rebbeinu Shlom wanted us to be masters of our own goodness. Bein bichlal, bein bifrat. Both our general goodness and our individual ones. Perush. Not only will we not achieve goodness unless we have earned it, but even every particle of goodness which we get will be absolutely, down to the last detail, commensurate with our deeds. So we will recognize in each bit of goodness we see there, we'll see exactly what deed it was that brought about that goodness. Each goodness that we miss, each bit of benefit that we don't make, we'll know exactly why we didn't make it. Of course, that's part of the suffering up there, to see it all and think how close it was. And it was just because of that little thing that I could have done slightly differently, and look what I would have had today. That's something we'll have to live with for eternity there. To me, that's Gehenna. I can't imagine anything worse than that. It's just looking at what one could have had and how close one was to it, how just a little bit of extra effort. And what kind of effort was just in small areas and small things, and one could have had so much more tov, one could have had so much more goodness.
So paying extra 40 rand a month for your bond.
Yeah, but it's much worse because you have to live with this. With that, you only have to live for a certain number of years. But with this, you have to live for the rest of eternity. There's nothing you can do about it. Once you're up there, it's finished. It's for fallen. There's nothing you can do.
But given the limited time, if there's such thing as time.
Sorry.
Yeah,
this Gehenna becomes eternal. This is worse than, in a sense, this is worse than Gehenna. To actually sit there and see what one could have had if one really used all one's abilities, and you come there feeling satisfied, I did my best, and I couldn't have had more than I've got, because I did the best I could. Then it's fine, one can sit there relaxed. But to be up there and look at every little bit and think, see how close it was, see everything that you've missed and why you missed it. That's something terribly, terribly painful.
And that you can now do nothing about it.
And that you can never do anything about it again. Fun, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to that, because in life we're always given another chance. There's very little in life down here that is final. And even if it is final, we fool ourselves into thinking that it isn't. If I really want to, I can still do it. And that, of course, is part of the difficulty of aging, that one becomes more and more aware of the fact that time is running out, you can't do anything anymore. There are things you've got to settle with that you're not going to make. But the ultimate of it is there, when you've got to realize that there's nothing more you can do. Your time for achievement is over, and it's now everything is established. The Nimtza.
Yeah, things which are ongoing. I mean, story of children and
yeah, but that will never get you what you missed. And it'll get you other things, it'll get you things that you gain, but the things that you missed for not doing a particular thing, you'll just think there and you'll just see something that you missed, and you'll realize that you missed it simply because when you said Ashrei on such and such a day, you had something else on your mind. That's all, and you think to yourself, had I just, with not even effort, just simply concentrated a little bit more that day, just look what I could have got. And it's for Fallon. It's the most terrible thing to live with. It'll come out that a human being will find himself on a level only chosen by or caused by nothing other than his own free choice. A position into which he himself placed himself. And in that society there will be great ones and little ones. Gedolim uktanim, big ones and small ones. Aval lo yiye legoivo mala sa'odom v'shifluso legodlo v'lechatnuso. But there will be no reason for a person's elevated status or lower status. Sibo acheres elahu atzme. There will be no other reason for it other than he himself. Boifin shelo yiye lo tarumis al acher klal, in such a way that there will be no place for faribu. Because there's nobody that you can claim anything against. There's nobody you can blame. Everything that you've got and everything you haven't got are as a result of your own deeds and your own actions. And it's a good thing to actually start accustoming oneself to that attitude in Olam Hazeh already. To start realizing that even in Olam Hazeh, probably a good proportion of what we are and what we achieve is what we've done ourselves. And to stop blaming other people and circumstances and all sorts of things for what isn't working out. To understand that at the end of the day, it's our own efforts that achieve what we have to achieve. Certainly when it comes to Ruchnius. V'hinei al ha-shoresh hazeh timso oid havchon ha-gedoyle bedin ha-maisim lishpo et oisom. I think we should leave Chesed for next week.